Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a Monday we have today, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio right here, FS1. Quite a crowded weekend. Tons of NFL capped off by a wildly entertaining Russell Wilson-Cam Newton battle late into the night. Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now, calling right, calling wrong every Monday. I thought that was one of the best football games I've seen this year.
It was amazing down to the last second. And I actually don't have a problem with how it ended.
No, either do I.
Because if Cam would have thrown it and something bad would have happened, all the internet would have talked about was how he should have run it.
You know, let me start with this. Structure matters in life. A lot of you get it from your family. If you don't get it from your family, maybe you get it from religion. Maybe you get it from coworkers, somebody you meet. But structure is really important. Habits. It's good on your body. It's good on your stress level. Things you can count on. Structure. I know, but you're talented. I know, but you're flamboyant and independent. You want to do what you want to do. That's great. But talent without structure is what happened to Antonio Brown's career. Cam Newton has real structure, and I'm all in on it. Cam Newton, who's got all sorts of flair, just joined the best system and the best structure in the NFL. Mechanics, no more sloppy throws. Won't be tolerated. His mechanics are the best I've seen since he was a rookie. Ad-libbing, you're still allowed to do that. New England allows you to do Superman, have fun at practice, wear the big hats, have some personality, but no more series just mailing it in. No more taking it off. Every single series has a point of view. Talent with structure is Russell Wilson. It's LeBron James. Talent without structure that doesn't want to be coached, that can be difficult, is what Kyrie Irving's careers look like post-LeBron. OBJ, post-Tom Coughlin. OBJ wants to be coached. He wants to be coached. Most great players want to be coached. Kevin Durant does. LeBron does. Anthony Davis does. Sometimes the coaching stinks. And sometimes the athletes, like, don't want to deal with it. Cam is embracing it because nobody coaches it like New England. This is the first time I watched Cam, and he's not a rental player for New England. Well, this works. If you gave him one vertical threat, if you gave him a Tyreek Hill, you know, if New England could actually draft a receiver, if you gave him a Travis Kelce, this team would be a handful. You wouldn't want to play this team if you're Andy Reid. You wouldn't want to play this team. Now, this team does not have a vertical dimension, and it limits them. So there's kind of one way they could win. Last night's a shootout, and that's not best served for New England. But here's what's interesting. I could make an argument this is the least talented offense in terms of personnel. Rex Burkhead, Julian Edelman, N'Keal Harry, no great tight end. This is the least talented offense. No Christian McCaffrey here. No Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore here. There's Greg Olsen, but he's the older Greg Olsen here. And yet, what did Cam Newton do? Oh, wait, he completed 68% of his throws, way above his career average, and his passer rating was in the mid-90s against Pete Carroll and Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams. Structure matters, and Cam's embracing it. Too many people push back. Oh, I don't want to eat the same thing every month. I don't want to be coached. Cam's like, I'm in it. I need it. I want it. And look at him. And I'll tell you the thing that jumped out to me. His mechanics have always been kind of hot and cold. I think his mechanics now are excellent. And I've always been a critic of Cam Newton. But if that's the Cam I get, I'm good. You can win that. Belichick, that defense, and that Cam, they are basically a vertical dimension away from being a handful. Maybe they get it in the draft. Maybe they get it in free agency. Maybe they go ahead and get OBJ. But what I'm watching right there looks like Cam has put his arms around the system. The system, Bill Belichick's put his arms around Cam. What a pleasure to watch. That's football. The player's getting the most out of the team, and the team's getting the most out of the player. And that's why I love football. It is structure. It gave me structure. My Sundays are structured. I've got everything written out, and everybody needs structure. Michael Jordan, the two times he had the best coaches, Carolina Dean Smith and Phil Jackson, with the great structures, he won championships. When he didn't have the coach who didn't have the triangle offense, or he didn't have the college, he didn't win. LeBron James was at his best, the best team he ever played on. Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, D. Wade, people that thrive in structure. So as far as giving Cam the ball in the last play of the game, listen, what is my rule? I said this last week with Joy. When you get down to a play of the game and you give it to your best player, I'm all good. I mean, that was Cam Newton against, I don't know, the entire city of Seattle. If he goes outside, maybe he scores. I'm not going to blame him. He had 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, played great. I thought he was tremendous. But I'll never bang on a football coaching staff when on the biggest play of the game, you give it to your best player. Cam was on fire, playing with a ton of confidence, making great decisions, playing smart football. Oh, God, he couldn't beat 11 guys. Here's Cam after.
Yeah, it was a great play by them. That's a play we had favorite in the game plan. We ran it a couple times. We figured, just think we probably went to the well too many times. But at the end of the day, still felt confident about it. We just got to execute. And I could have bounced it, looking at the clip. I just got to be better.
I'm good with it. If that's the Cam Newton I get, he's a Patriot. He's not a rental player. That's a real NFL quarterback. It's funny in this league. You get drafted by a team, and if it doesn't go well, like Sam Darnold, you may not get a second chance. Like for Cam, great Cam, hurt Cam, Cam Act Two. I mean, I'm all in on this. I thought he was great. Including the MVP year. I like this Cam more. Structured Cam, dependable Cam, good mechanics Cam, and yes, he can still do a Superman. I'm okay with that. It's okay. You can have a little flair. You can have a little flair, but I'll tell you, flair needs structure more than structure needs flair. All right, let's shift to this. I'll give the Dallas Cowboys credit. First of all, that first quarter was a mess. You got to give Dallas credit for this. They just kept fighting. And this is one of the things I like about Dak. Dak's formidable. You talk about leadership. Leaders don't quit. They just kept playing hard. But let me ask you about this. Sometimes you need to ignore the result in life. If my kids run into traffic and don't get hit by a car, I'm not going, excellent job, excellent job. I'm chewing them out. Sometimes you got to ignore the result. There are lessons to be learned. And I would ask this about Dallas. What do they do well? I mean, compete to the end, but I mean, multiple fumbles, 2 fake punts, lousy execution, weird late game strategy. It's not just schemes. They're not close defensively in the secondary. I mean, they have talented individuals. I would not deny that. But what collectively does Dallas do well? What can you put your arms around? Okay, they competed till the end. Well, you're kind of you're paid to do that. But when I look at Dallas, I see Amari Cooper and Zeke and Dak. But you know what's happening to Dallas? They're starting to look a lot like last year by week two. Zeke's going to get a lot of yards. Dak's going to get a lot of yards. They're going to have 3 1,000-yard receivers, and they're not going to be able to beat good teams. They're going to beat Atlanta. They're starting to look like last year, which is, you're going to get some individual performances. Dak's going to have a bunch of yards. Amari Cooper's fantastic. Zeke, I love Zeke. There's nothing about him I don't like. Not quite as good as 2 years ago. Love him. But collectively, what do you rely on? If you look at Dak's final numbers, if you look at those and you look at the final score, if you look at the results, you're like, whoo, party. But this is a good fantasy team. This is a good highlights team. Do you believe this morning, if you're a Cowboy fan, it's a good football team? I don't. And by the way, Mike McCarthy, we've said this in the last couple weeks, he's trying too hard. In week one, he wanted to show that he wasn't conservative against Sean McVay, so he went for it in an obvious kick a field goal situation. Yesterday, he reverted back to the old conservative Mike McCarthy facing a defensive coach, and at the end of the game, after the onside kick, they get a nice reception to CeeDee Lamb, and then they run, kneel. It's like a 46-yard field goal. I mean, I know you have a great kicker. Can you? Atlanta was gassed. Atlanta was tired. Atlanta couldn't stop anybody. Come on. This is the time to be aggressive. 36-yard field goals, even for a great kicker, are easier than 46-yard field goals. I don't think Dallas knows what they are. And I think self-identity is a real thing in the NFL. Like, already New England knows what they are. They knew what they were first series. We're going to run the football, control the clock, put it in Cam's hands, give him a lot of time to throw, play great defense, hit our field goals. New England's identified. They always do this exactly what they are. Lamar Jackson to Baltimore, very early in his career, they identified what they were. What is Dallas? They fight. I don't know what they are. I don't know what collectively they do very well. I mean, Mike McCarthy saw it as a strident. This win is, it means something, and I just don't know what it means other than they're not beating good teams with that performance.
You know, you look at past experiences, you look at any great season that you're able to put together, you have big moments that you're able to build off of. This is a big moment to build off of, but you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, we're 1-1. We find out a lot about ourselves today, and that was really the message at halftime. And once again, I can't say how proud I am of our players.
I didn't see that. I don't know. I mean, listen, the virtual fans were booing. I don't know what they are. I don't think they have an identity. I think they are what we thought they were, is individually talented, but collectively a big bowl of I don't think you can beat good teams with that performance. And I don't think Atlanta's very good. And they may have a new coach soon. Coming up, not only is Russell Wilson unbelievable, but did you see who he went after last night? The most fearless football player in America and the best football player on the earth. And did you notice who he went after last night? That spoke volumes. That's coming up. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, 45 minutes from now, top of next hour. Plus Michael Vick this hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you switch by October 7th, Geico will save you 15% on RV policies, motorcycle policies, car policies, geico.com. Bill Belichick has a history. Let's add some context here. He humiliates young quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen and Sam Darnold are pitiful against him. He's done this his whole career. I think he's like 18-1 against rookie quarterbacks. And then as you get better and more experienced, it's not like you flourish against him, but at least you're not humiliated by Belichick, the greatest defensive coach and greatest coach in NFL history. And then there's Russell Wilson, who is now 3-1 against New England, should be 4-0, 66% completion percentage, 13 TDs, 2 picks, and 131 passer rating. And he's getting better each time he plays him. Like, he's won the war against Bill. He's better than Bill's coaching. Russell Wilson's the best football player in the world. Lamar's more dynamic athletically. Patrick Mahomes is maybe a flashier with a better arm. Russell Wilson went after the best coach in the game and the best corner last night, Stephon Gilmore, and he went right at him. He went right after their best corner. Everybody passes away from Stephon Gilmore. Everybody moves to the other side. Russell goes, I'm going right at you. And I love listening to announcers. Oh, these Seattle receivers. Oh, you mean Freddie Swain in the 6th round or David Moore in the 7th round or Will Disley, who Washington used as a blocking tight end in college, or Doug Baldwin, who was undrafted, or Tyler Lockett, who was a gadget guy in college, or DK Metcalf, who dropped in the draft. Those receivers? What are you talking? I mean, I'm not knocking the announcers, but I always say, oh, this receiver is thrown open. Everybody works with Russell Wilson. That's why I never understand. Seattle should just draft offensive guys. There'll be no busts. They all work with Russell Wilson. He has, right now, 11 incompletions and 9 touchdown passes. I mean, and he's doing it against two defensive coaches to start the year. Dan Quinn was a Pete Carroll protege. So Dan Quinn was at practice for years watching Russell Wilson. Dan Quinn should know all the tricks with Russell Wilson. Ate him alive. And then Bill Belichick's now faced him four times. He's only better. This is the best football player in the world. I mean, I just watched this kid, and I'm like, and we've been pleading with Pete Carroll for years. Just, now they call it let Russ cook. Just let him go. This is his team. Five different touchdown targets last night. And what's interesting, Seattle could become Dallas. A lot of talented individuals, but nobody can cinch it up. That's what Russell does. He just pulls it all together. And Seattle's now throwing the football early, more Russell Wilson dependent. I mean, he's a humble guy, but he's admitting now, like, this thing, I'm hot. Here's Russell.
I think that definitely in the zone. Locked in, focused, dialed in. My teammates are too. Every day, it's, you know, my mindset, you know, just my performance team and everything else. Just everything that we put into is just getting ready, you know, and trying to be great, you know. And I think that, you know, I have an obsession with this thought process of always trying to find more.
For the record, 2020 has been rough on all of us. And it's gotten a lot of us out of our habits, which make us comfortable. But you are really seeing who is thriving in all this chaos. LeBron James in the NBA. I mean, this Laker team is a bunch of new coach, new staff, new players, new teammates in a bubble. The Lakers are playing their best basketball of the year this morning. And Russell Wilson, this thing could unravel everybody. This is the best he's ever played. They're to me, if you count line of scrimmage, coachability, leadership, elevating others, accuracy, that's the best football player in the world. In the world. Others can be flashier, faster, bigger arm, throw left-handed. I don't know what Russell Wilson at this point. What's his flaw? You can't tell me the short thing because Kyler Murray's shorter and he's all over the league. That doesn't matter anymore. The way the spacing and the moving the pocket, that's the best football player in the league and the best one I think I've seen in years. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Justin Herbert made his NFL debut yesterday.
Let her rip. Not bad.
Very last minute kind of crazy situation. I look like that's not Tyrod. What's going on here?
Yeah.
A last minute injury to Tyrod Taylor in warmups. So Justin Herbert was out there for the Chargers, made his NFL debut, 22-33 for 311 yards and a touchdown and an interception. He also ran for a touchdown. But despite his strong performance yesterday, Anthony Lynn confirmed after the game that if Tyrod is healthy, he will still be the starter.
Okay. I don't know. He added juice to me. I mean, I'm sorry, but he was poised. I mean, his first two or three throws, it looked like he was so nervous. He was flying.
Yeah, I mean, he overthrew. He looked like a rookie, but I mean, I had no idea what to expect from him, and he obviously wasn't planning on starting. That's why I was confused. I'm like, if they were going to start Justin Herbert, wouldn't we have known? Like, there's no announcements about this. They're just going to slide him on out there, and then, you know, obviously we found out Tyrod was injured, but I thought he looked great considering the circumstances.
Oh, I thought he looked unbelievable. He's a let-it-rip kid. He reminds me a little of Josh Allen, although Josh Allen was more erratic his first 2 years in Buffalo. That kid can play. And by the way, the Chargers don't have a great identity in Los Angeles, a city with teams that have a great identity, Dodgers, Lakers. Like, that gives them juice. I mean, and it's funny because a lot of people with the Chargers are like, well, he's not quite ready. Can I just say this? Nobody is quite ready for a hard job.
Right.
Nobody is ready. LeBron wasn't quite ready to deal with some of the Lakers' dysfunction when he arrived. Nobody is ready for anything new. But are you talented enough to be ready enough? And Herbert was ready enough.
Sharks are born swimming.
I like that.
I mean, that's what it is. You got to get out there. Like, it's just like you said, that when is the right time to go do something that's incredibly difficult with a lot of pressure in a big moment?
You should never work. Your first day at work at any new job You should not be great, or you literally took a job too easy
yes.
for you. You should bail water a little.
It should be challenging.
Every first week, month of any job, you should be like, God, I can't keep up. I'm at Google, the new system. I can't. That's what challenging yourself looks like.
And look, that was a good game. The Chiefs did not look great. I mean, it took three kicks by the Chiefs kicker, who was a baller.
They got pushed around for the first couple
of
quarters.
Yeah, I mean, the defense was giving them problems. Yeah. Look, we know the Chiefs are the better team.
Like, right.
This is how it goes. It's the NFL. Sometimes you're going to have great games. Sometimes you're not. You just get the win. But I think it's interesting that Anthony Lynn immediately confirmed that Tyrod is still the starter. And look, I feel bad for Tyrod anytime you get injured. See, I don't like the concept of you can't lose your job to injury. Yes, you absolutely can. Now, right. We know people get injured in the NFL, as we're just going to talk about in a second, and nobody wants that, but they drafted him for a reason.
Yeah, no, there may be promises that have been made. It's like, Tyrod, we got a guy behind you. We're going to give you a month. Maybe there are promises being made in the building, but you could not watch that game and not go, oh, that's the future of the Chargers, right? There it is. That's very Burrow. You're like, big arm, mobile, moves.
It felt like Burrow. And again, I like Tyrod, and I think he's a starting quarterback in this league. But that's the future. I don't know how you just abandon that right away just because Tyrod's healthy. I will say, though, and obviously this is going to take time, can't be taking those hits, Justin. You got to get down.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this
is not the Pac-12.
No. Speaking of, there were a lot of big injuries around the league in week two. The 49ers got decimated, hit the hardest. Nick Bosa is feared to have a torn ACL, so he is likely out for the season. I mean, look at this list. Jimmy Garoppolo, Raheem Mostert, and Solomon Thomas also left yesterday's game with injuries.
A lot of skill players.
Yes. Giants lost Saquon Barkley for the year, torn ACL. It's awful. Christian McCaffrey is expected to miss multiple weeks with an ankle injury. Andrew Locke will be out for 2 to 6 weeks with a sprained AC joint in his shoulder. Cortland Sutton, Tyrod Taylor, obviously, Devontae Adams, Malik Hooker, and Byron Jones also injured. It does kind of feel like maybe we needed a few preseason games. Maybe four is too much, but two is like the magic number.
Yeah.
Because this feels like a lot.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not just players are getting injured, but Devontae Adams, Green Bay's offense, like, he's a go-to guy, like Nick Bosa. Saquon Barkley is the Giants' offense to this point.
Yeah, it's really it's something to pay attention to. And they were complaining about the turf at MetLife, but there was injuries all around the league. So, Anthony Davis made the biggest shot of his career last night for the Lakers. There was so much stuff on yesterday.
U.S. Open happened.
I was overwhelming because at one point I had the Lakers game and the Emmys in another box and the NFL game on.
Bang!
But this was unbelievable. He hit the game-winning three-pointer as time expired to give his team a 2-0 series lead over the Nuggets. The team was wearing the Black Mamba jerseys last night that Kobe helped design. And after the game, AD confirmed that he yelled Kobe after hitting the big shot.
I did. You know, I mean, obviously wearing the jerseys, he's hit countless shots like that, you know, to win games, regular season playoffs. I mean, it's a special moment for me, special moment for the team to do something like that, you know, and in the jersey we wore tonight, you know, it just makes it even more special.
That was one of those shots, as soon as it went up, I was like, oh, it's in.
Well, and this is the knock on Anthony Davis has been he doesn't hit this shot.
Right.
Like, he's great the whole game, and 2.5 left, he disappears.
And he's never been in a situation like this in his career because he's never been this far in the playoffs.
This is where I miss the crowds.
Yeah.
Like, this shot, I was like, okay, this just feels like the why. That would have been, if that's in Los Angeles, what would Staples be like?
I mean, it's an all-time moment, really.
Our two biggest moments yesterday, Seattle stopping Cam at the one and Anthony Davis hitting that. Those would have been home games.
Well, I mean, and Dallas. I mean, and Dallas had fans there. Imagine if that place was full. Like, that was incredible. Now, look, it was a little bit more on Atlanta, which I'm sure we'll get into. But this was an incredible moment, and it really kind of felt like this was the series. Like, obviously, they have more work to do, but I mean, for the Nuggets to climb back in that game and then for him to hit that shot, and who knows what Mason Plumlee was doing there, but
By
really
the way,
fun moment.
You mean LeBron goes to the West and wins the West too? So it's not just the Eastern Conference?
Oh, maybe he's just really good.
Really?
He might just be really,
good. Can we get a breaking news banner for that?
LeBron James is really good at basketball.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
13 years in the NFL, 4 times a Pro Bowler, and my friend, he's on Fox NFL Sunday every Sunday morning with me, Michael Vick, now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I've been critical of Cam Newton my whole life, but I said, Michael, if this is the Cam Newton now, if this is the new Cam Newton, where his mechanics were better, he played with a purpose, he didn't waste downs, I thought that's as good. I'm even talking his MVP year. Like, I like this Cam with all this structure even better than the Carolina Cam that won games. I mean, what did you make of his performance?
I was very impressed. I thought Cam came out and showed that he's back full form. I think he's in a much better offense than he was the last couple years. And we got to remember that Cam was coming off some significant injury. So he's excited to be back. And, you know, through that excitement can come some good play. And, you know, that's what he's doing. I mean, I never seen him this comfortable. I never seen him this much in control. And he's doing it on, you know, with his legs and his arm and thinking his way through games. So he's in a great spot right now. I like what he's doing with New England. I like what they're doing with him, rather, and putting him in a position where Cam can be Cam, and that just helps the flow of the game, and it helps the team overall.
Yeah, I mean, I thought last night he saw the field well. Like you said, he's not playing. He's thinking the game. He's playing the game. He's totally engaged. His mechanics, he was off a couple times last night, but his mechanics have always been spotty. I thought his mechanics were great last night.
Yeah.
Let's go to Russell Wilson. He literally went after Stephon Gilmore last night, which nobody does. What did you make of his performance?
I thought Russell played keep away with the defense like he always does. Another guy is in total control of the system he's running. And, you know, being in year 9, you know, you're going to be much more mature and, you know, that much more savvy as a quarterback than you are in year 4 and year 5. And I think he's just hitting a level where he's really feeling it. You know, sometimes you get to a point in the game where you feel like you can't do no wrong, you know, especially when you're making all the right decisions and keeping the ball out of harm's way. And, you know, no other receiver or anybody on the field touches the ball, you know, other than Russell Wilson's receivers. The DBs don't have a chance. You know, he don't put the ball in harm's way. You know, he's not throwing it into coverage. You know, if he's doing it, it's where his receiver can get it and nobody else. So, man, we looking at a guy who's just in – definitely in mid-season form and look like he's really having fun playing the game of football.
Now let's go to a quarterback that is really struggling. And I don't know what it is, Michael, but I watched the Rams-Eagles yesterday, and I am a fan of Carson Wentz. His accuracy is off. He doesn't look comfortable. What is it? Is it a coaching thing? He doesn't even look comfortable in the pocket. What is it with Carson Wentz?
Well, playing in Philadelphia is always going to be an immense amount of pressure to perform and win games. You know, you look at the one interception that he threw, you know, down in the red zone, and I just felt like it was a throw that he shouldn't have been trying to make. You know, he's trying to do it all, and it seems like he's trying to, you know, put the team on his back, which is what you're supposed to do, but you can't force it. You know, anytime you start to play that way, things just don't go your way. So, you know, with this team, if it's not one thing, it's another. You know, week one, we thought it was the problem with the offensive line. Week two, it was just bad defense and some turnovers and missed opportunities. So, you know, this is something Carson has to clean up. No, nobody can do it for him. Coaching, you can't even overcome it with coaching, because once you coach this, he has to go out and be the guy who can perform it. And if he's not comfortable with it, then you should just say it, you know, in the film room or throughout the course of the week. You can only go out there and execute the plays that you know you can execute and beat the defense with.
Yeah. So in the last few days, I've seen Joe Burrow with Cincinnati and Justin Herbert with the Chargers, two of the three quarterbacks drafted. And my takeaway with both of them is they make mistakes. They're not there yet, but both of them have a quality I like. They go back, they're athletes, they move, and they let it rip. And Justin Herbert found out 5 minutes before the game you're starting. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but Michael, considering he probably didn't get first team reps all week, wasn't bad, right?
I thought Justin Herbert played well. Finding out 3 minutes before the game that you're going to go in. Everybody has some form of nervousness or anxiety. I think every man on that football field before they step on the field. And I can only imagine what he went through. So it took him some time to get settled in and get rid of the butterflies. And, you know, he had a couple welcome to the NFL moments. But that's what was needed. I think, I mean, he looks like a good quarterback. I mean, big, tall, strong guy. Made some good decisions and obviously going to learn from the mistakes that he made yesterday. He played winning football, if you ask me.
Yeah, no, that's how I felt. Okay, so I said sometimes in life, you got to ignore the results. You can win a football game and know when you get on that plane or know when you're driving home, we got lucky.
Right.
Dallas tried to fake two punts. The execution was lousy. They couldn't hold on to the ball. If you're the Dallas Cowboys this morning, how do you feel about what I watched for 4 hours?
Well, they need everything that happened yesterday. They need to delete it out of their mind. Other than, you know, the last couple seconds of the game when, you know, they kicked the field goal and they put themselves in a position to win. It was a difficult game yesterday, and our conversations would have been totally different this morning had they lost that game, you know, from the fake punts and all the fumbles and just the sloppy play. But it's definitely teaching tape is something that they can learn from. And I think Mike McCarthy had capitalized on this. I really like what Dak is doing. He looked comfortable yesterday, and he looked better in week two than he did in week one. So, you know, it's onward and up for the Dallas Cowboys, hopefully, you know, if they continue to stick to this game plan. But they can't dig themselves in a hole and create a huge deficit like they did yesterday.
Yeah. By the way, I thought Seattle and New England last night, Michael, I thought that was such a great game.
It was amazing.
I am amazing. We had no preseason. Cam's brand new into the building. He had to share snaps his first 2 weeks. This is supposed to be a complicated system. Are you a little surprised how good Cam's been? I mean, I am.
Well, yesterday I kept reminding myself that Cam has won an MVP and Cam has played in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it takes a lot to, you know, make those type of things happen, you know, throughout the course of your career. Everything has to go right, and you have to play good football. And, you know, Cam is just, you know, look like a guy who is on a mission, and I think they're going to win a lot of games, and I feel like Cam is going to be in New England for a long time. Something is just telling me that, and I just like what they're doing, man. I think, you know, Bill Belichick is looking at Cam as a long-term project now, and the offense is going to continue to expand, and, you know, he'll have a lot of fun, you know, playing this type of offense, you know, which is like, you know, similar to the Auburn offense that he ran.
Yeah.
You know, he was in college.
By the way, Justin Fields at Ohio State, you draft him, you sit him behind Cam for a couple years. You can win a lot of games with Cam Newton and defense and Belichick's coaching. Mike Vick, good talking to you, buddy.
Good talking to you.
Coming up next, Tom Brady's performance. We've got to kind of reboot and reset our expectations because something's happening. And it's going to take a lot of time to figure it out with Brady, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of hour two.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. Get carshield.com. Put in the code HERD. It's a warranty after yours runs out. Over 1 million Americans use it. Carshield.com. Whenever some people have a job and they have it forever, but most of us have two or three or four or five jobs in our life. And whenever I have a new job, there's certain boxes you have to check. Okay, can I find my way around the building and find my way to work without thinking too much? Check. You move to a new city. Second thing, you know, what are the places, you know, the managers that are easy to get along with, the managers that aren't, that'll take a while? Check. Where do I fit really well in a company? Where should I avoid? Check. This stuff takes a lot of time. There's an old saying, old dog, new tricks doesn't work, right? Like Tom Brady's an old dog. You're asking him to learn new stuff. And it's really a work in progress. Yesterday, he had another bad pick. He's not using the tight ends at all. He left a lot on the field. His passer rating's in the mid-80s. You know, when Tom was in New England, there was always like two things to do. Okay, get it to Randy Moss and Wes Welker or Gronk and Julian Edelman. And Tom would just go back and back and back. They got three tight ends. They got three good running backs. They have multiple wide receivers. This is a lot. Old dog, new tricks, and just a bevy of weapons. And that's not been Tom's new thing. So Tom's going to get a lot of publicity because he's Brady. Now, the defense is rolling. Tampa's defense, as we predicted, we said in September, the defense will lead the team. Tampa's defense is great. It's young. It's fast. It's athletic. It strips the ball. The guys in the back can catch. It's like really a defense. They shut down Kamara. Drew Brees threw for 162 yards. Bridgewater struggled. McCaffrey didn't have many yards. They shut Christian McCaffrey down last year as well. So it's the defense is right where you want to be. But in terms of the offense, I think Bruce Arians summed it up. This is going to be a long, slow work in progress.
This game should have never gotten to as close as it did, but we let them back in. It's going to take time, and with having no preseason and all those practices we missed, we're just growing day by day with Tom and the receivers and the entire offense. Now, I think we'll just get better and better. We're nowhere near, I think, what we are in September, what I think will be in November.
Now, the good news is running back talent. Tight end, talent. Receiver, talent. Linebacker, talent. There's all sorts of talent here. Defensive line, talent. Even the secondary is better than I thought it would be. But I would say this. Here's the two areas, maybe one and a half, where you can check a box. First week, Mike Evans and Tom, one catch, didn't look good. Yesterday, maybe we can check that box off. Seven catches, touchdown. That timing pass that he threw behind the defensive back, that's a timing pass. That's what Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams took a year or two to get. So the Mike Evans box, it looks like they're building something. Check. The Leonard Fournette box, it looks like he's going to be the starting running back. Maybe we can half check that box off. So those two feel good. Brady talked about the Mike Evans situation.
Yeah, it was better. It certainly we left some out there. I think he and I both know that. So, we just got to practice and work hard at it. And it's not an easy game. We got to work at it. There's no easy way about it. Got to get to work and, find our rhythm and keep it for the rest of the year.
So far in the NFL, the good teams look pretty good. The bad teams are really bad. I do think the really encouraging thing for Tampa Bay is I think they're a team right now that's not playing particularly well, but could be great. Like, I kind of feel like I know Baltimore's really good. Kansas City's really good. Seattle's really good. Green Bay looks really good. We all knew they would be good. Maybe they're a little better, a little not, but they're good. We knew Cincinnati would struggle, okay? We knew Cleveland. Well, I'd say Cincinnati would struggle. Miami's still in a rebuild mode. We knew the Jets and the Giants would be kind of a mess. And then you get into that middle, and you're like, boy, this team's not as good, Minnesota. This team, New England, appears to be better, but maybe not a Super Bowl team. And then there's Tampa. And Tampa's the one team I've seen so far. I'm like, they're not great. They're not functioning at a high level, but I think they have a ton of runway. I think their defense is good. I'll always question their special teams. But the offense yesterday, there were two series early, and you're like, oh, that's a real offense. Like, that's moving. That's perimeter guys, Leonard Fournette, and that's a good space to be. It is, but this is an old dog in new tricks. It's going to take a long time. They're not even throwing to the tight ends. They're not even acknowledging. I think the tight ends yesterday, they have three good tight ends for Tampa. I think they had a catch for like 11 yards. They're not even throwing to the tight ends. So this is going to be, it's funny about the no preseason. The quality of football has been, to me, shockingly good for no preseason. The downside is we're getting a lot of injuries, more it feels like than usual. And I could make the argument in terms of old dog, new tricks, new system, Tampa needed the preseason more than any team. Baltimore and Kansas City were going to be fine. Russell Wilson was going to be fine. There's a lot. Green Bay, Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, they were going to be fine. Tampa really needed reps, really badly. And, just think about this. Fournette just got there. Gronk was retired. Chris Godwin now has had concussion protocol. Mike Evans missed practices due to hamstring. Whole new system. The left tackle opted out. They went and drafted a right tackle to solve right tackle. Then the left tackle opted out. So this is an organization, Tampa, right now. Big, big runway. They need work. And the interesting part is we're spending so much time on Brady, we're forgetting the defense is great. Tampa's defense looked great in the first 2 weeks most of the time. All right, so Colin right, Colin wrong, top of next hour. Lakers peel off a win. I'm not sure how many people watched it outside of Los Angeles. I will say this. LeBron James not happy. about the MVP voting, and he voiced it. It's funny. We like our athletes to be honest, and then when they're honest, and LeBron's like, that's all the MVP votes I got, we're like, ah, come on. What more do you want? Do you want your athletes to be honest? I do, so we've all got to get comfortable when they're honest with we may honestly not always want to hear their honesty. Like, LeBron's honest. I'm the MVP, or a heck of a lot closer than the final tally, and he's right. Hour two next in the herd.